We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
What is going on, everybody? Welcome to Striking Gold, your 49ers podcast on the Blue Wire Network. My name is Rob Lauder. I cover the 49ers for all of you fine folks on the other side of the speaker. How the hell are you? How are you doing? I appreciate you tuning in. I appreciate you being here. Have a front row seat and let's get to it. Let's talk Niners. This episode, of course, is brought to you by Prize Picks. If you don't know what Prize Picks is, daily fantasy sports made easy. Pick your sport, pick 2 to 6 players, pick more or less, and watch the winnings roll in. If you want to check it out, prizepicks.com/gold, and a promo code of gold will get you in the door, and they will match any deposit you make up to $100. prizepicks.com/gold. Promo code GOLD. Check it out. Today we're going to talk about the 49ers rumor mill, and we're going to do a little roster rundown. A little more alliteration for you. 49ers rumor. I got to come up with something for the rumor. Rumor. I could go rumor rundown and roster reconciliation. That's too much. Too much, Robert. Robert's roster, I already said rundown. I got to come up with something. Let me just look at our words. Our words. Revere Rush Radio. Robert's roster radio. Robert's roster reload. There it is. There it is. It's going in the title, folks. 49ers rumor rundown and roster reload. I mean, you were here. You were here when I came up with that right now. You saw it. And reload was not even in the R words that Google popped up. The request is on there. 49ers rumor rundown and roster request. No, but you were here. Roster reload. 49ers rumor rundown and roster reload. I mean, this content is free. You are listening to this podcast for free. You don't get much better than that, folks. And right now I'm laughing at my bullshit, but you know what I mean? We're here. 49ers quarterback room is set. I'm not going to repeat that. I'm just kidding. 49ers quarterback room is set. The 49ers signing former Minnesota Cardinals quarterback Josh Dobbs to a guaranteed deal of $2.25 million with some roster bonuses that can take it up to $3 million, I believe. Where's it at? Yes, he signed for $2.25 million with $750,000 in playing time incentive. Sam Darnold signed last year for $3.5 million at the time and just signed with the Vikings, right? So the 49ers doing a little quarterback switcheroo. Just signed with the Vikings for like a legit $10 million. So a bit of an upgrade there for Sam Darnold. That'll play into the compensatory draft formula. I like the Josh Dobbs signing. Got to remember, it's a backup quarterback. It's not serious. We are moving on from the 49ers quarterback conundrums. Not alliteration, but sounds kind of like how Eminem rhymes. You're not always using rhyming words, but the way you say them can make them sound like they rhyme. You know, quarterback conundrum, just kind of both, you know, in the middle. Anyways. So one thing I will say, signing Josh Dobbs beats the hell out of these Jets quarterback Zach Wilson rumors. 49ers were rumored to be interested in Zach Wilson. I don't know how substantial the rumors were. I never traveled to the source of the rumor. I just didn't care that much. All I know is whatever Zach Wilson is made of, it's not of the stuff that John Lynch and Kyle Shanahan wants. I understand that when the 49ers were looking at draft quarterbacks, Zach Wilson was always kind of the consensus number two. He was always out of reach of the 49ers, who traded up to number three and ended up selecting Trey Lance. But like almost every other quarterback in that first round, it just hasn't worked out for Zach Wilson either. And in addition to it not working out, has also shown some questionable personality traits, some questionable decision-making in regards to the way he carries himself. And so on the other hand, you've got the Pastronaut. Man, that's a horrible nickname, but Josh Dobbs has graduated with like a space engineering degree. Something to the extent. Oh, I can hear little Robbie crying. Hopefully he's all right. I always feel bad, you know, if I can hear him crying through the door, because I think you guys can hear it. I know you can't, but because, you know, mom's out there holding it down, doing the fucking mom thing. Like, she's an absolute warrior, a superstar. She watches the baby all day. And then I get home and I'm like, sorry, I got to record a pod, you know, and which is fine. We're Striking Gold out here. But little Rob is part of the Striking Gold fam, and you know, as is my wife, and they deserve their recognition. So anyways, we'll keep going. So I like Josh Dobbs. His 2023 involves starting 8 games for the Arizona Cardinals while Kyler Murray was out, and another 5, or playing in 5, starting 4 for the Minnesota Vikings. You combine those two seasons together, he had a 63% completion percentage, 2,400 yards, 13 touchdowns, 10 interceptions. He also rushed for, why is it? I hate how they put rushing in an entirely different statistic. He also had a whopping, and I mean whopping, 77 carries for 421 yards and 6 touchdowns. So if you add that 421 yards and those 6 touchdowns to his statistics from last year, you would get just under 3,000 yards, 19 touchdowns and 10 interceptions. So they're adding a fairly proven commodity, a backup quality quarterback that can win you games in a pinch. And that's all a backup quarterback is supposed to do. Obviously, the team still has Brandon Allen, who was the third quarterback last year. I would expect, if you were just to hand me a piece of paper and I had to write down the quarterback depth chart, I would put Dobbs over Allen. Allen's more experienced, but you don't just give $2.25 million in guaranteed money to a quarterback and kind of not feel like he's got the edge to be the backup. Now, at the same time I say this, why am I drawing a blank right now? Hold on. Come on, the backup that was there with Purdy, they ended up releasing Nate Sudfeld. Boom. Okay. They also gave Nate Sudfeld a significant amount of guaranteed money. I think it was less. I think it was like 1.5, 1.75, somewhere in there. Not a huge deal. But and this will tell you right here. It's not the only factor, but if anybody wants to call bullshit on the story that Jed York told the media leading up to the Super Bowl that Kyle Shanahan came to him that first offseason, during the offseason program, and said, I think our third string quarterback is our best quarterback. You know, and that if you could even qualify him as fourth string, given the weird Jimmy Garoppolo dynamic. If you think Kyle Shanahan or that story is full of shit, just look at the fact that Kyle Shanahan cut Nate Sudfeld, who had a significant guarantee, rather than cut Brock Purdy, who was their last pick of the draft. Last picks of the draft and picks in the seventh round, even picks in the sixth round, even picks in the fifth round get cut often. And the fact that the 49ers were willing to part ways with Nate Sudfeld, and obviously Jimmy Garoppolo fell back into the fold, but it would have been so much easier to cut Brock Purdy and probably add him to the practice squad. But, you know, that's just another little clue that maybe Kyle Shanahan really did think Brock Purdy might be the best quarterback on the roster, given the fact that they were unwilling to cut him, even after just signing Nate Sudfeld and giving him some significant guarantees. So just an interesting little tidbit. Again, I like bringing in Josh Dobbs. The 49ers have like a $4 million quarterback room, somewhere between $4 and $5 million, which is incredibly cheap. Incredibly cheap. And the 49, you know, that's when you hear people talk about the 49ers Super Bowl window. That's it right there, is how much they're paying their entire quarterback room. Their entire quarterback room is less than worth like less than 10% of Patrick Mahomes' salary. Now, would they rather just pay Patrick Mahomes' salary? Sure. But just, you know, just comparing here. Hate to bring up that name again. Sorry, guys. Speaking of hate to bring something up, it was announced today by Tom Pelissero. Let me find it. Did I keep the tweet or did I close out a tab? I think I closed it out. Let me go find it. We don't do the old computer noise. Boop, 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 boop. Tom P. The 49ers are in trouble. They're in trouble. Okay. So here, per Tom Pelissero, I'm going to read the whole damn thing. The 49ers will forfeit their original fifth-round selection in the 2025 draft and will have their 2024 fourth-round pick moved to the end of the fourth round behind the compensatory picks. It's only four slots back, but you never know what player you're going to miss out with on those four slots. This action resulted from a league review that found administrative payroll accounting errors at the close of the 2022 league year that resulted in a misreporting of the club's cumulative player compensation. The NFL determined that the club would have remained under the salary cap at all times, regardless of the error, and there was no intent to circumvent the cap. Well, isn't that fine and dandy? The league said it didn't have any effect on the salary cap or any offer any sort of competitive advantage, but that is a serious fucking punishment for something that offered no real advantage. So whatever Parag did back there was a massive mistake. I don't necessarily think somebody's going to get fired over this. And if they did, would we hear about it? I don't know. But just losing a fifth round pick and getting your fourth round pick bumped backwards over an error that apparently didn't involve any competitive advantage means that the error was at least in that realm. Like the league is admitting that, you know, those types of punishments are there to ward off anybody from trying to do the same thing. Now, we don't know what that thing was. This is a pretty broad statement from Tom Pelissero. He's just reporting what he's been told. But it sounds a lot more serious than, oh, it's not the big thing. Wouldn't offer any competitive advantage, but here's your punishment. Like, it obviously is a significant mistake for it to warrant that kind of a punishment. And it'll be interesting to see if we hear anything more on that, because that's a big slap on the wrist, and it seems like a warning shot for the rest of the league, and I wonder how serious what they were doing was, and is it something over time? Is it like the Office Space where they were siphoning like 0.000001 of a penny on these transactions, and they didn't realize how quickly that would add up? So, interesting. But, I mean, for curiosity's sake, just to make this burn a little bit more, Let's take a look at the 49ers' fifth round pick over the years, shall we? All right. Sorry, just want to clear my throat a little bit. Okay, this year, fifth round pick, Darrell Luter, and cornerback Darrell Luter and outside linebacker Robert Beal. Maybe if the 40, you guys know what I'm about to say. I'll leave it. Fifth round pick last year, cornerback Sam Womack. Fifth round pick in 2021, Jalen Moore, tackle Jalen Moore. Cornerback Yamanor Lenore, a bona fide starter right now. And safety Teleno Hufanga, an all-pro safety that is also pegged for a starting role. Injuries pending. Okay, so we're off to a great start with the players the 49ers could lose out on. Colt McKivitz, their starting right tackle right now in 2020. 2019, Dre Greenlaw, their other starting linebacker, probably should have been all-pro. Let's keep going. DJ Reed, 49ers cut him too quickly. Didn't think anyone would pick him up off an injury designation, but went on to have some pretty solid years in the league. Played for the Seahawks for a while. This guy, tight end George Kittle. Okay. Tight end George Kittle. I think he's still on the roster. One of my old favorites, wide receiver Trent Taylor. Okay. So anyways, point being, good players can be found in the fifth round, and the 49ers don't have one of those next year. Now they could come up. They're very likely to get some comp picks, likely to get one or two in the fifth round. I'm not trying to make it a bigger deal than it is, but it's a pretty big deal just to have a fifth round pick up and vanish. One that the 49ers have a weirdly consistent hit rate on. So yeah, someone might be getting fired. Another rumor, Brandon Ayuk trade rumor. We talked about this very briefly in the last pod, that there was this rumored interest between Brandon Ayuk and the Jaguars. And now the 49ers are rumored to have received. What's the best way to had conversations with the Jaguars about a possible Brandon Ayuk trade? A Brandon Ayuk trade, sorry. Sorry you guys had to hear that. A possible Brandon Ayuk trade. I did it again. I'm going to move on. Don't want to talk about it anymore. Something about saying Brandon Ayuk and trade next to each other has thrown me for a loop. We're just going to chalk that up as a nail. The Jaguars apparently offered, or the discussion involved the Jaguars giving up the number 17 overall pick plus wide receiver Zay Diggs in exchange for Brandon Ayuk. And obviously the Jaguars would then need to pay Brandon Ayuk a deal that would make him among the highest paid receivers in the NFL. This was tweeted by Mia O'Brien. Let me click on the tweet. Who does her thing for Sprung the Kid. I cover number 16 plus the Jag 1010 XL. Okay, that must be what it is. For 1010 XL. Radio and TV for 1010 XL 92.5 FM. Okay, that took me a little while to put together. So her tweet says 49ers reportedly would have wanted number 17 overall plus Zay Jones. Then Jaguars would have had to pay Ayuk. So that fizzled out. I mean, I don't know. I'm looking at this, and one, I don't know. Mia also says 49ers reportedly would have wanted. Does that mean she's forwarding us somebody else's report, or she's reporting it, you know, per her source? You know what I mean? So I'm not sure if she's the source of the information, or not the source, but if she's reporting the information or got it from somebody. It doesn't really matter. I'm certainly not necessarily questioning the report. I don't know anything about Mia and what she does. So shout out to Mia. But to me, there's nothing. I mean, sure, if you want to fizzle out on the deal, then yeah, but I don't. I've seen so many ridiculous tweets by, you know, NFL fans. So I don't want to act like those are worth reacting to. But a lot of them have been like, oh, do you think the Patriots will accept a second round pick for, like, no one is accepting a second round pick for Brandon Ayuk. If you're going to want Brandon Ayuk, it's going to take a trade very similar to what's being reported by Mia here. Number 17 overall and Zay Jones. Like, you can fizzle out on that all you want. But if you want Brandon Ayuk, who has kind of inserted himself into top 10, you know, top 10, maybe getting closer to five. I think that's a little high right now. I'd have to actually look at all the receivers. I mean, he's an a very, very good receiver, probably just outside the fringe, like wide receiver one territory. Like, doesn't matter if you want to guard him, can't guard him. Now, Ayuk does have some of that, but not quite there. So anyways, you want Ayuk, it's going to take a deal like that. So if it is correct, you know, you guys know how I feel. Do I think the 49ers should trade Ayuk? Absolutely not. Is there a trade that is acceptable out there that can make it worth it? Of course there is. There always is. Is that trade worth it? Would I do that trade? Would I take number 17 overall on Zay Jones for Brandon Ayuk? It's tough. I think honestly, I'd have to have more, maybe one more pick. Maybe we do a pick swap where I come up in the second and you take mine, you know, like, and even then, you know, you're still shipping out a guy like Brandon Ayuk, hoping that, because you know what Zay Jones is for the most part, and you're getting a guy on the last year of his deal. I think it's around a $10 million cap hit. And then what are you doing with 17? Hoping you draft a player like Brandon Ayuk. Now, I get it. He gets significantly cheaper, and that's the game you have to play. But it's really tough. Like, you don't just – receivers get drafted in the first round all the time that don't pan out anywhere near how Brandon Ayuk has panned out, not to mention the chemistry that he's built up with Brock Purdy. So, I mean, if you're really willing to deal him, and just tough decisions like that have to be made, like cutting Eric Armstead. But it's an interesting rumor, you know, where what everybody typically says is where there's smoke, there's fire. You know, those rumors are coming from somewhere. But we'll see. We'll see. Oh, another thing I almost didn't mention. You know what? Yeah, no, another thing I almost didn't mention. Aaron Donald retired. So the 49ers will no longer have to see him twice a year. Which, and the 49ers, to be honest, at least in the Kyle Shanahan era, and even before that, they never really seemed like they really struggled with Aaron Donald. And I'm sure Aaron Donald made his fair share of plays against the 49ers. But especially recently, it always seemed like the 49ers have had a plan for Aaron Donald. And dang it, hold on. Where is it? Kyle Madsen tweeted it. Trying to say it right now. Come on. Don't have a bunch of tweets, Kyle. I mean, Kyle tweets a lot, but he doesn't tweet that much. He fires off his puns, which I love. Come on, where's it at? What's his name? The funny guard that we always joked about having I'm really fumbling the bag here. Having always having Aaron Donald's number. I'll think of it later when it just doesn't matter. You guys are yelling it into the speaker right now. And that's just what it is. I memorize too many names. Look, I am a school teacher. I have classes of 39 students, like, all the time. You know, I got too many names in the bank, man. Every time a new name comes in, an old name goes out. And I just, man, it's just tough, all right? But I'm just kind of buying time while I do look. Daniel Brunskill. Ha! There it is. There it is. We can all rest. We can all rest. So Aaron Donald's out. And you know what else is funny to me? Like, I get it. Like, the twice a year thing. It's a big deal, especially with some teams in the NFL, though you don't play in a year, you know? Let alone, you know, you play a team 1 year, let alone a guaranteed twice every year. But every time someone says, you know, hey, they, you know, now they don't have to play, or they're going to have to play this guy twice a year. And I'm like, oh man, that's once more than once a year. Like, I'm always like not impressed by the phrase twice a year. Now I get it. There's also an option with the way the NFL schedules work that it could be zero times a year. You don't play every team every year, but you know, it just always cracked me up. They're like, oh, they're going to have to see Aaron Donald twice a year. And I'm like, oh man, one more than once. I'm sorry. All right. Before we get into the roster reload, I didn't forget, before we get into the roster reload, we're going to talk a little bit more in depth about Prize Picks. Okay. Now, again, Prize Picks said 2023 went well. Let's do it again in 2024. So, Striking Gold fam, I'm relying on you. Get it done. That's a quote from Band of Brothers. the guy he's talking to does not get it done. One of the great scenes in the series, episode 7. What's it called? Is it called Bastogne? I don't think it's called Bastogne. It's not even Bastogne. Episode 7, Band O Brothers. Is it The Breaking Point? It is. I got it. I got it. Okay, cool. So episode 7, The Breaking Point, when Lieutenant Dyke has to lead his men into the town of Foy, I believe, and completely fumbles it, freezes up. Lieutenant Spears has to come in and take command of Easy Company and lead them into the town. And he just says, I want mortars and grenades on that building until it's gone. And when it's gone, I'm going to first go straight in, forget going around. That's what he says. And he takes, it's a great scene. It's a great, phenomenal scene. If you have not seen Band of Brothers, you got to get on it. But anyways, we're talking Prize Picks here. Prize Picks has said in 2024, we're rolling again. So Striking Gold fam, I need you to get on it again. I don't know if the promo code resets or anything per the year, I'll ask, but you know what? You already know what it is. So here's Prize Picks. Daily fantasy sports. It's you and the numbers. You're not betting against other players, pros, sharks, any of that. You're picking your sport. You're picking 2 to 6 players. You're picking more or less. You're watching the winnings roll in. I absolutely loved rolling with Prize Picks throughout the NFL season. But now that that season's over, there's an NBA, MLB, golf, there's hockey, there's even pro gaming sports like Call of Duty or League of Legends. It's legit and it's only growing. And you guys already know what I like best about Prize Picks is it's simple. It's simple. It happens quick. If you forget to roll Prize Picks and the players are standing on the field getting ready to kick off, you can get there and you can create a lineup before that ball is kicked. It's that simple. It's that easy. All you need to do is go to prizepicks.com/gold and use the promo code gold, and you're going to get your first deposit match of up to $100. Up to $100. So if you ante up and kick in, like men, another movie quote, they're going to match that, and you're going to have $200 in your account. So prizepicks.com/gold, and you're going to use the promo code gold. Feel me? Okay, prizepicks.com, daily fantasy sports made easy. I'm on one today when it comes to the movie quotes. I'm on one. All right, so roster reload. We did the rumor rundown. Now we're in the roster reload portion of this podcast. And really what I'm going to do is I'm just going to run through the roster. Not necessarily break it down player by player. We will get into that once the rosters are set and we're going into training camp, stuff like that. But we're just going to go position by position and talk about our feelings. I'm going to tell you about this experience. You know, we're going to put our feelings and our thoughts on the table. We're going to analyze them and we're going to see where we're at with this roster. In the end, we just want to know, did the 49ers get better so far in free agency? The story's not over. There's more players to be signed. The roster needs filled out. The draft is coming up. This story's not over, but we're going to talk about it. All right. Roster rundown begins. Quarterbacks. Did it get better? Did this group get better? It went from Brock Purdy and Sam Darnold and Brandon Allen to Brock Purdy and Josh Dobbs and Brandon Allen. Did it get better? I mean, not really. Would you say that Josh Dobbs is better than Sam Darnold? I mean, I would hear your voice either way. Does it really matter? Do I want to sit here and talk about whether or not Josh Dobbs is better than Sam Darnold? I really don't. And I don't think you do either. We can call it a wash. You can say it's a slight step backwards. I mean, the 49ers signed Josh Dobbs for $2.25 million, and the Vikings signed Sam Darnold for $10 million. Now Sam Darnold's being signed to at least be their starter at the start of the season. We'll see who they draft in the first round. Everybody believes they're going up for a quarterback, but I mean, it doesn't matter. Brock Purdy's the man, and if Brock Purdy's not out there, you're kind of considering yourself screwed either way. But Josh Dobbs does. I mean, Sam Darnold's a pretty pure passer. Matt Maiocco of NBC Sports Bay Area said he might have been the best thrower of the football the 49ers have ever had. Just marinate in that for a little bit. He has 100% made fun of himself for saying that, but it's all in good fun. I'm not going to say I disagree. I don't know. Can Sam Darnold throw the football better than anybody? I don't know, but it's all good. It's fun. Thank you, Maiocco, for the quote. But in the end, when if those guys are playing, you're hoping it's for a very short amount of time. Otherwise, your season is in the trash. Doesn't matter. They're not getting you to the playoffs. They're not winning you playoff games. They're backup quarterbacks. Let's not get stirred up. I like the Josh Dobbs signing, though. I think his skill set fits well with Kyle Shanahan's offense. He's a decent passer of the football. He can get it done. He can move the ball down the field. And he had a lot of chance last season to show off what he can do. Was it always great? Nope. But that's why he's a backup quarterback and not a starter. Could a team have entertained Josh Dobbs as a starter, like some type of bridge starter this year? Probably. But quarterbacks, we're not overreacting one way or another. Neither are we toward the running back position, because that's all pretty much staying the same. You've got Christian McCaffrey. You've got Elijah Mitchell. You've got Ty Davis Price. Wait, do they still have Ty Davis Price? Things get weird, man. Things get weird. I'm just making sure. Let me make sure they're not adding it. They do, but things just get weird. Scrolling up and down the roster that's supposed to be organized by first letter of the position, and there's no running backs. I mean, is it broke? Did I break it? What's new high score mean? So right now you've got Jordan Mason, Elijah Mitchell, Christian McCaffrey. What happened to TDP? We gotta hash this out right now. I feel like I know where he is. Yes, there he is. Okay, he went to the Eagles. I remember that now. Tyrion Davis Price. Weird. And right when I said that name, I was like, hold on, Rob. And then, yeah, sure enough. So Jordan Mason, Christian McCaffrey, Elijah Mitchell, I'm fine with it. Just Jordan Mason needs more touches. Maybe Christian McCaffrey's hella good, though. Elijah Mitchell looked good towards the end of the season. You know, if Elijah Mitchell can stay healthy, he offers the 49ers, I wouldn't necessarily call it a legitimate 1-2 punch, but he's a solid running back. We've seen it. He's just struggled to stay healthy. And if he can stay healthy, him and McCaffrey can seriously churn through a game. And as could Jordan Mason. There has to be a flaw in Jordan Mason's game, whether it's understanding the pass protections or the schematic parts of being a running back. There has to be something where the 49ers just don't quite trust him in that role yet, because every time they do trot him out there and he gets the rock, he's gaining at least 5 yards. It's just that's the way he plays the game. Tight end. Anyone other than George Kittle, please stand up. I mean, you've got Braden Willis and you've got why is this not organized by letter again? I guess they're putting him down here in the injured reserve. Cameron Latu, somebody has to step up behind George Kittle. Somebody's got to make some sort of magic happen. Are they drafting a guy again? I mean, Cam Latu was taken in a third round. What exactly do you expect him to contribute? Now, depending on how you feel about him, tight end out of Alabama, a lot of people were saying that was a massive reach. Braden Willis was a 7th-round pick and already started to see snaps. I mean, you do need maps. We can call this schematic playbooks maps, just for the sake of right now.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
It just, we'll make it simple. We have seen nothing to inspire any confidence behind George Kittle. So do we consider the tight end position still a need for the 49ers? Yep, probably. The 49ers just restructured George Kittle's contract, meaning they kind of expect him to be around for a while longer, which is perfectly fair. And or they're willing to eat a big chunk of dead money if they feel like they need to move on. But anyways, the point being is behind George Kittle, there's not a lot going on. Now, did they get better or worse in free agency? Neither. Not. It's a wash. They've basically kept everybody. Now, Charlie Warner did depart in free agency, went to the Falcons on a three-year deal. I think it was $12 million. So maybe the group got a little worse. Warner was the number two tight end behind Kittle, did a lot of blocking, and probably a little undervalued in terms of his impact in any given play. But even still, I mean, if we want to chalk Charlie Warner as just a significant loss, then we can. We can say the group got a little bit worse. But in the end, the group needs a little bit of work. That's all there is to it. Now, we're getting to kind of like some of the meat and potatoes of... Oh, gosh. Talked about it last week. Last episode. A website that will automatically start playing something with sound. Don't do it. It's March 18th, 2024. No one needs a website that auto-plays videos with sound. Like... One of those parts of the equation's got to go. The video's got to go. The autoplay's got to go. Or the sound's got to go. I don't give a shit which one you pick, but preferably just get the video off the page. You know what I mean? Come on. Come on, folks. Sorry. The reason I'm saying this is I just had music just blasting in my ears while I'm trying to talk to y'all. And it was an autoplay video. So, the offensive line. John Feliciano resigned last week. We talked about that last episode. Probably one of their most significant signings of the free agent class so far. Based on the way John Feliciano played last year, he was better than a lot of people realize. And the moment he left the lineup in the Super Bowl, Spencer Burford immediately came in and made one of the game-defining mistakes, and that was failing to block Chris Jones. You know, the guy that, I don't know, their best player on the field outside of Patrick Mahomes. He gets a one-year deal worth up to $2.75 million, which if you've watched the guard class this free agent period, I mean, there are guards getting almost $20 million a year. And I'm not saying John Feliciano would be worth that amount anyways, but he played like a $20 million guard last year. Yeah. I mean, if you check out his Pro Football Focus stuff, just to confirm, you know, he had an absolutely outstanding run blocking grade. He had a solid pass blocking grade. He was good. He was legitimately good. And what else that does is that brings back the 49ers' entire 2023 offensive line into the fold. Were they perfect? No. Were they the worst? Absolutely not. They were right around, I think Pro Football Focus had them rated as as the 10th best offensive line in the NFL. You're looking at a top half of the NFL offensive line. They're all back. Continuity is a huge thing. They all get to play another season together, you know, health depending, knock, 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 whatever you want to do there. So I think that's a big deal. And then you've got players that are being added behind them. I think the 49ers just signed former Raiders right tackle Brandon Parker. Raiders tackle. I wasn't sure if it was the right or the left side. And that's been it for the offensive linemen being added after John Feliciano. They did give Colton McKivitz that extension. They did add Ben Bartsch, who's kind of a versatile center guard rotational player. I mean, I wouldn't say rotational player, backup. You don't really want to rotate offensive linemen. All the 49ers were doing that too. So, did the 49ers offensive line get better or worse? You can say it's a wash. You can say they got better just based on the sole fact that they're all playing together for another season. Like I just said, continuity and being comfortable with the guy to your left and your right is a big deal. And I think the 49ers offensive line was just a tad underrated last year. I'm not saying they were good. Brock Purdy was moving around trying to avoid pressure pretty frequently. And maybe Purdy made the offensive line seem better than it was based on its ability to evade pressure. But what this means, though, is that the 49ers have a little bit of flexibility. Do they consider either a guard or a tackle probably among their most pressing needs? Absolutely. 100%. But they know that their group is coming back this season. Is anything an emergency? Like, we have to draft this right tackle because he's going to play for us this year. And if we don't draft him, we are screwed. It's not now. Does that mean that they don't need to draft a right tackle? No, not saying that. But it's not just a emergency. They have to start planning for wanting to upgrade over Colton McKivitz. They have to start planning for the eventual exit of Trent Williams, whether that's 1, 2, 3 years, whatever he's trying to do. So there's still plenty of value in drafting these players, but the 49ers at least now have set themselves up to where they're all right. They can take a deep breath and they can really look. And what that does too is, let's say the only offensive tackle on the board, they tried to trade up, couldn't get it done. The only offensive tackle on the board at pick 31 is like their 50th ranked player, and they're picking at 31. So you're essentially overlooking 19, you know, better players that you, based on your scouting reports, just to force the fit at guard at tackle. And I've said before, the teams draft for need all the time, but you don't want to draft for need so heavily that you're just letting what you consider much better prospects just walk right past you. And so that's where the 49ers are now. They don't have to force some crazy pick for a guard or a tackle if it doesn't line up. Now, if they're picking 31 and the tackle, their first player on their board is a tackle that they had ranked like 23rd, then it's an easy pick. Bam, sign him up. He competes with Colton McKivitz. If he beats him, McKivitz moves into guard or becomes a very good backup. If Colton McKivitz kind of just has that veteran edge on them, then you kick him into right, compete at right guard either way, or he's your backup for a year. Like, you know, and or you move him over to left tackle to start working behind Trent Williams and really getting that good teacher talk. So it just, I like where the 49ers offensive line is at. Has it got better? Has it got worse? It's a wash if you want it to be, but I like where it's at. And I like the fact that they are able to bring back the same unit they brought back last year. Now, getting, like I said, the meat and potatoes, getting right back into it. Now you've got the defensive line. And this is a discussion. This is absolutely a discussion. Which defensive line would you have? We're just going to talk starters, and we'll talk some of the guys behind them. But let's just start with the starters. Okay, you tell me which unit you would rather have. Cleveland Farrell, Eric Armstead, Javon Hargrave and Nick Bosa, or Leonard Floyd, Malik Collins, Javon Hargrave and Nick Bosa. To me, you're looking at almost a little bit of a trade-off. I think that Leonard Floyd and Nick Bosa is a much better pass rushing tandem than Cleveland Farrell and Nick Bosa. I think that Eric Armstead and Javon Hargrave, thanks largely in part to Eric Armstead, is a much better interior tandem than Malik Collins and Javon Hargrave. But there are some benefits to the acquisition of Malik Collins. He's younger. He's cheaper. He's almost as good at pressuring the quarterback as Eric Armstead. Not nearly as good at holding up against the run, if everything I've read was correct. But again, you're kind of trading that off for Leonard Floyd and his ability to rush the passer, and he's tenacious. He's got a high motor. He's okay against the run because the way he plays football allows him to be. Now, also kind of an unknown here is where Jordan Elliott fits in. He was signed. He was a starter for the Browns, who obviously had a very good defense. Is Jordan Elliott in there in place of Malik Collins during plays where they on first downs where they expect to run? Or second and mids, where do those two line up? You know, Yeter Gross-Matos from the Panthers, who kind of is seen as a versatile, can do a little bit of everything player, maybe an ascending guy, maybe a guy that that when Chris Kocurek gets his hands on him, maybe takes a big step forward. So you're looking at additions to the defensive line: Malik Collins, Jordan Elliott, Leonard Floyd, and Yeter Gross-Matos. Departures: you've got defensive end Chase Young, who just signed a $13 million deal with the Saints. Eric Armstead, he's with the Jaguars now. Javon Kinlaw is with the Jets now. Cleveland Farrell with the Commanders now. So you're losing Cleveland Farrell, Javon Kinlaw, Eric Armstead, and Chase Young, but you're gaining Yeter Gross-Matos, Leonard Floyd, Jordan Elliott, and Malik Collins. If it is a step back, I don't necessarily think it's going to be significant. The other thing that you have to take into account is while I'm giving Eric Armstead his flowers as far as being an elite defensive lineman, which he was when he was healthy, and therein lies the pause when he was healthy. If you look at Malik Collins' last three seasons, he's played 16, 15, 15 games. Eric Armstead, I believe, has missed like 15 games over the last two seasons. Let's take a look. Let's type it in. Let's use the internet for something you should have already had pulled up, Robbie. Eric Armstead played in 9 games in 2022, so that's missing 8 games. He played in 12 games in 2023, that's missing 5 games. So, yeah, he did miss 13 games over the last 2 years. And Malik Collins, in the same period of time, has only missed 3. That's a big difference, especially when you're getting younger and you're getting cheaper. So it just depends on how you want to look at this. I can understand both paths. I can understand if you picked one or the other. I'm going to say they got slightly worse, but maybe this is a unit that proves me wrong. I like the additions in terms of pressuring the quarterback. Javon Hargrave, not great against the run, but solid at getting pressure on the quarterback. Malik Collins, not great against the run, but solid at getting pressure on the quarterback. Leonard Floyd is a pass rushing upgrade. Nick Bosa, we know what his does. So I think the 49ers, let's just boil it down this way. I think the 49ers got a little better at rushing the passer, and they got a little worse at stopping the run. Now, the problem being is they weren't great at stopping the run last year. And if to think that they might have gotten a little worse, we'll see. We'll see. I'm not necessarily making any big proclamations, but that's just how I'm thinking about it. Let us move on to the linebackers. Now, linebackers it's a little murky. You've got Fred Warner. Dre Greenlaw's there, but he's rehabbing from a torn Achilles. He's expected to be making Sueto his return somewhere around the start of next season. Probably going to miss a couple games. There's a chance he doesn't miss any, but that seems pretty optimistic. In place of Dre Greenlaw, the 49ers are going to be plugging in linebacker Devondre Campbell, who was cut from the Packers. He was an all-pro in 2021, but hasn't really maintained that form. Mention him to Packers fans, and they will just throw everything they can get their hands on. They also added Ezekiel Turner from the Cardinals, who's more of a special teams type of standout from what I know. So I would say the 49ers offensive line definitely took a step back, but that's not necessarily due to free agency. I would have said they would have taken a step back even with the addition of Eric Kendricks if he hadn't have just decided that he preferred first round exits in the playoffs and being watched while he works out in the team workout in the team gym. So either way, there really wasn't a way for the 49ers to get better at linebacker. How do you get better than Dre Greenlaw? You don't. There wasn't a linebacker available that was better than Dre Greenlaw. Now, that being said, Dre Greenlaw comes back, and then you've got Devondre Campbell lining up as the third linebacker. Then your unit starts to look a little better than it was in 2023. You had Oren Burks as the third linebacker. He stepped in to replace Dre Greenlaw in the Super Bowl with bad results, and now your third linebacker is Devondre Campbell, a former All-Pro, a veteran linebacker who may not really have much pep in his step anymore, but he's a third linebacker. He's going to be out there for just very specific snaps. So there's a way in which you could consider the unit improved, and that only entails Dre Greenlaw coming back. And he's got to come back, you're hoping he doesn't come back as some sort of a shell of his former self, which is certainly a possibility. Doesn't really happen all that often these days based on how good medical treatment is. But I wouldn't say the 49ers linebackers got better, but they also didn't really have the option to get better. Like it all hinges on kind of how Dre Greenlaw comes back. I keep mixing Dre and Greenlaw, Dreenlaw. It works. Now, corner is an interesting one. Didn't really have any significant losses. Cornerback, it was the first one. Hold on, I'm calculating, moving. Isaiah Oliver, he had been phased out of the defense for the most part. He's now signed with the Jets. The 49ers haven't really lost any defenders at corner. You're still looking at a little bit of a question mark, though. You've got Charvarius Ward, who, this is not a scoop, this is not a report. I would assume the 49ers are working on an extension for him just based on lowering his cap number and keeping a player who's been extraordinarily good. Now, again, 49ers plan like 3 years out, so maybe they don't see themselves having money to extend Charvarius Ward. Charvarius Ward has an $18.4 million cap number this year. That could very easily be lowered with an extension. But how much is he going to want? You know, his base salary is $12.5 million. Is he going to want a significant upgrade over that? Do the 49ers think they can afford that? I don't know, but a Charvarius Ward extension would not surprise me in the slightest. It would seem like good business, but you never really know what he's asking for. So you've got Charvarius Ward, and then across from him, you've got D'Amador Lenore. Now, the good problem with Lenore is you can plug him in outside, you can plug him in inside. Which one do you want? Where do you want him? Do you want him outside or do you want him inside? And that's going to affect how you approach the draft, because either an outside or a nickel corner is one of the 49ers' highest needs. But the 49ers did sign Isaac Yadam. Also a movie quote. See if you can find it. I looked it up before we started. I looked up a quote. Yeah, I think it's Yadam. But I am going to do it right now. So I'm actually going to be listening to something while you guys are listening to me, which is absolutely. Yeah, Isaac Yadam. Got it. The absolute peak of podcasting is you just sitting there while I listen to an announcer say Isaac Yadam's name during a highlight. So, I mean, this is striking gold. This is what you're here for, right? Now, I want to consult a tweet by our very own KP, Kyle Posey, KP underscore show on Twitter. Isaac Yadam's a bit of an interesting story. He's moved or he's played in several different teams. But he got significant snaps for the Saints last year. You'd think I would have pulled up those stats right now, but as you can see, I am totally on my game, but I'm going to pull them up now. But that's not really what I wanted to focus on, because he got his chance to come in last season based on injuries, and he ended up playing for the Saints. He played in eight games, started eight games. He ended up with 37 tackles. And where's pass breakups on this silly things? One fumble recovery, 14 pass breakups. I'm going to repeat that again. He played in eight games and had 14 pass breakups. Now here's some other stats that, KP had. He's also 6'1", 188. Good size corner. KP said he was third in the NFL in tight window rate per Next Gen Stats, meaning he was on his receiver. He allowed the fourth lowest completion percentage of 38.5%. Yadam gave up 15 completions but had 16 pass breakups, and he had the fifth best success rate in man coverage. Now, you know, there's an obvious problem there. The 49ers are known to play more zone than they do man. That doesn't mean they can't play more man than they do zone. That doesn't mean that Isaac Yadam is even a favorite to start. But he seems like a little bit of a sleeper candidate if you're looking for one to start on the outside opposite Charvarius Ward. And maybe the 49ers want to start playing more man coverage. Maybe they want to start switching things up on defense. John Lynch mentioned himself that he wanted the team to kind of start evolving a little bit on defense. And again, this is just a one-year deal, you know, from a Saints backup that got some playing time and actually played well. You got Ambry Thomas, but I think the 49ers would rather not trot him out there. I'm just saying that Isaac Yadam has had some success. He may be better than we realize based on, you know, his lack of playing time and moving around the NFL. You know, he was on the Broncos. He was on the Giants. He was on Green Bay. He was on Houston. Then he was on New Orleans Saints. So we'll see. I'm just saying, pay attention. Now, did the cornerback group get better? I think so. They've still got all the guys that were making an impact last year. They added Isaac Yadam. They've added a few other guys that are more with special teams pedigrees. Chase Lucas, you know, and he's listed as a DB. So it's interesting. It's just an interesting addition that I'm going to pay attention to. It could be nothing. It could be something. You know, that's the type of analysis you're going to get here. It could be nothing, but it also could be something. Okay. Now we get into another interesting position group at safety. I would have to say this group probably got worse based on the fact that Deshaun Gibson is not back. He's not re-signed. I think the expectation is that he retires. I think that the 49ers are plugging in Jair Brown and Talanoa Hufanga. We have no idea how good Hufanga is going to be coming off a serious injury. I think the expectation right now is that the group is not better until it is. You know, we don't know how Brown is going to take his next step in year two. We don't know how Hufanga is going to look coming off that injury. We just don't know, you know, and there's a lot of unknowns about it, and that's okay. It's not saying that the 49ers are going to get torched. It's not saying that the 49ers are going to be good either, or excuse me, good at safety either. So it's tough. There are some options in free agency. We're not going to go into that now, but it's a guy coming off an ACL. You just never really know what to expect. And the 49ers don't look like they're bringing back Deshaun Gibson. Maybe he's making his mind up. Maybe he's not. So I think it's fair to say the safety group is worse right now. We'll see. One position that they absolutely need to address is returner. Ray Ray is signing with, who was it again? Ray Ray McDonald signing. Was it also the Saints? No, I think it was the Falcons, if I'm not mistaken. Yep, he's with the Falcons now. So Ray Ray McLeod is now with the Falcons. I feel like I said McDonald earlier. Ray Ray McDonald. I don't know. Maybe I'm confusing him with Ray Kroc in the McDonald's movie. Man, my movie references have just been flowing. So I think the overall point, based on our roster reload, is that the 49ers are still in pretty good position to do the damn thing. Every position group we went through, it was kind of hit or miss, maybe a little worse, maybe a little better. That being said, the 49ers are still right where they are, right where they were in terms of being able to compete at the highest level and being able to go all the way again. To me, the ultimate, I don't know, determining factor is just the part of these players that you can't see, which is their heart. I meant to say it funny like that, but can this team suffer yet another Super Bowl loss, one that they absolutely should have won? I mean, the Chiefs' only touchdown until the one that won them in the game was because of a muff punt. You know what I mean? Like, 49ers should have won that game, and it shouldn't have even been that close. Your best player fumbled in, you know, in scoring position. So I don't want to get into that again, but to me, the 49ers are going to think about these things all the time. And is it going to beat them down, or is it going to give them the fire they need to pick themselves back up? That's what I want to see. That's what the coach in me wants to see, is can these guys look at what they've done and the disappointment that they had last season and just find some way to have it do nothing but piss them off and give them the motivation they need to fly into next season? Won't be easy. Won't be an easy schedule. You don't have a season like you did and get laid out with an easy schedule. So it'll be interesting. So there it is. There's the 49ers rumor rundown and roster reload. It has to be the title, right? All right, everybody. I think that's it. Now I should. You're getting this episode on a Tuesday. Normally you'd be getting it on a Monday. Sorry, I had family over last night and I forgot to kind of account for podcast time. But the grandparents were over hanging out with their grandson. So you're getting this on Tuesday morning. I may have another episode for you on Friday morning. We'll see if something happens that is like obviously something I need to talk about, then I'll for sure be on here. But if nothing really interesting comes down the pipe, I may not be on another time this week because I have a big school field trip on Friday that I need to be there at 5 a.m. and, you know, all kinds of good stuff. We'll see. No matter what, just know that I appreciate you. Thank you for listening to Striking Gold. Thank you for being here. If you listen on Spotify, I think our Spotify rating went from like a 4.6 to a 4.5 out of 5. Like, we got to get our rep back up. Okay. So if you're a Spotify listener, hit us with the 5-star review. Let's get that rep back up. But I also, again, I still have not found any written reviews on Spotify. If they're out there, I haven't seen them yet. I can't find them. And if you're on iTunes, leave us a 5-star review. Leave us a question. And eventually, when I start getting those, I'll throw them into the episode. It's a free mailbag question anytime. use it whenever. But anyways, appreciate you guys. Thank you for listening. The ultimate form of support, prizepicks.com/gold. For another episode, I'm Rob. This is Striking Gold. We're signing out.